basketball, conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The Warrior's Mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Willie the Bam Johnson's Warrior's Mindset Radio. It's all about overcoming the obstacles and pitfalls in the world today by using our mind, our body, and our spirit to be the best person that we were created to be. Martial arts is a vehicle that we use, and we, many people, continue to push forward to this day, even after COVID, realizing that sometimes I want to get up. Why do I want to show up? Why do I want to help someone else? But it's so important right now that we lend a helping hand and collaborate and do what we need to do to help and build up the next generation. And that's what the Warrior's Mindset is. We have had so many different guests on this show. I mean, everybody that a great martial arts school owners, we didn't have great movie stars. I mean, it just continued to get better, community leaders and so forth. And what we want to do today, we think of a martial arts school that I continue to follow, which is, I would call it, I'm gonna say a sister school, sir. Because yes, our base is wushu and kung fu. And a lot of times you don't see successful kung fu and wushu schools. And your school, Wushu Central, correct?
Yes, sir. That's us.
Okay. And the beautiful thing about it, tell the audience a little bit more about Wushu Central and your success, your accomplishments.
Yeah, 100%. Well, first of all, I want to thank you so much, Mr. Johnson, for having me on your show. It's a real honor and a privilege to, you know, to share the stage with you today. My name is David Chang, and I'm the founder and CEO of Wushu Central Martial Arts Academy. We have locations in San Jose, California, and Palo Alto location, and our whole purpose is to turn children into successful adults. You know, we run a pretty successful martial arts studio. Our first location in San Jose has 500 students. And our location in Palo Alto, we just opened literally 2 months ago at the beginning of June, and that location has over 110 students already. So it's growing very, very rapidly. The goal is for that Palo Alto location to have 500 students by the end of 12 months from opening. So that's our growth plan.
So how did you get started in the martial arts?
Yeah. So you know, when I was a teenager, I was influenced by a number of really positive factors. One was from my cousin who was into martial arts, but I gotta say, one of the most important factors in my life was the Karate Kid movie, right? And I think a lot of people were really influenced very positively by the Karate Kid movie, because before that movie, martial arts was all about the rough and tough, was about learning how to fight, you know, it was about being how to knock somebody out. And really what the Karate Kid movie did, and it created this icon in Mr. Miyagi, which told the world that martial arts was not about how to fight, but it was about how to live. And that was so important for me. So I got into martial arts starting with the only martial art that was available in our area, which was Taekwondo. Wonderful martial arts style. But I'm Chinese by heritage, and I always wanted to learn a Chinese martial art. So when I went to college, I went to UC Berkeley, and UC Berkeley has a wonderful martial arts program there. It's got all these different styles. You can take judo, you can take karate, you can take, you know, hapkido, and of course they had wushu. And I said, this is amazing. It's my opportunity to finally get involved in a Chinese martial art. I went to that class. I had been doing taekwondo for about 4 years, and I thought I was pretty badass. So I went to that class thinking I was going to do awesome. And I got to tell you, that first class in wushu wiped me out. It was so hard. It was like nothing I'd ever experienced. And I remember distinctly coming out of that class, first of all, feeling great because a class that kicks my butt is a class that I love. You know, I just love that feeling, like I just got owned. And I remember heading back to my dorm after class, and my legs were all wobbly. And I just thought, I'm just going to try running home, right? I'm going to run back to my dorm room. And I ran, I'm jogging, and my legs just collapse out from under me. Like literally, like they just muscle failed, and I collapsed to the ground. I'm just laying there laughing, being like, this is amazing. I just got wiped out so badly from wushu. This is the best martial art, and I've loved it ever since. And that has been my martial arts passion ever since that moment.
You know what's awesome? Hearing your passion and your enthusiasm about the beauty of the art. And this ties back into the radio show, Warrior's Mind. I remember when I went to China, when in order for us to push forward, the coach for the athletes would say, Chayo, Chayo. And exactly with that. It's just like, give me more, give me your best, give me your, give me more fire of dragon, let's go. When I think of the warrior's mindset, that's what the warrior's mindset to me represent, that kung fu and wushu do for us. When you're pushing and you're about ready to quit, you're running those stretch kicks, you continue to focus on the execution, the technique. You don't allow yourself to be sloppy when you get tired. And I believe when we look at a warrior must maintain that sort of level of excellence from the inside out. What do you think, sir?
For sure. You know, champions don't give up, they turn it up, right? We are the best when our back is to the wall. And I think that the greater the challenge, the higher we rise. And it's so important for us to always be seeking challenges in our life, to be looking for things that really stretch us, that don't feel easy, you know, that really kick our butts. And one of the things I love doing as a longtime martial artist, I love getting into a new martial art and being a white belt again. It's such a wonderful feeling to be able to get into a martial art and not have any, you know, preconceptions and not to have any pressure like, oh, you're this degree black belt, you should be able to do this or that, just to go into a whole new style and be able to say, you know what, I'm brand new, my cup is empty. Let's go into this and let me learn as much as I can learn. That's one of my favorite things to do. So I think it's just so important in martial arts and in life to always be pushing your boundaries. You know, I've been always thinking like, as I'm getting older I'm in my mid 40s. And one of the things that I feel like is that I'd love to go back to school again. You know, like I got my degree in college and right now I'm like, I miss school. I miss taking a class, you know, in a classroom, having a textbook, studying, taking exams, writing papers. Like I actually miss that experience and that feeling because, you know, it's just another opportunity to learn. And so I'm doing learning constantly, but that's one mode that I'd love to get back to someday.
So when you think of the warrior's mindset, I mean, right along on that level, I look at it, to me, I think a warrior is the student of life. It's constantly adapting, learning. As Bruce Lee said, we're like water. We're constantly trying to adapt and flow because the true warrior is one that's trying to stay in tune to the here and the now. In your own words, how would you describe the warrior's mindset and how you apply it in your own life?
Yeah. I think that, you know, really when we talk about the warrior's mindset, the warrior's mindset really comes down to having clarity on what your why is. Why are you living your life? And what is the purpose and what do you want to leave behind? You know, like what is the true drive? Like what is your story? If you were to put yourself and you were the hero of your own movie, like what's that role you have in that movie that gives your life meaning? So, you know, when I think about like my particular why and, you know, what drove me to the point that I am now, I think, you know, let me tell you a couple of stories. And this will really kind of clarify where I came from and what drives me today. When I was really young, I was about 9 years old, and my kid brother, he came down with a very serious illness called Guillain-Barré syndrome. Guillain-Barré syndrome is a viral disease that will cause complete paralysis of the body. And as you know, a certain percentage of people, for some people, it's fatal. So my kid brother, we woke up one day and he wouldn't get out of bed. He was only 3 years old at the time. So he wasn't really talking that much, but he said he didn't want to get out of bed. Okay, we thought, well, maybe he's not feeling well. Next day, he still wasn't getting out of the bed. We're getting really concerned. And so my parents take him to the doctor. Next thing I know, he's taken into the intensive care unit. He ends up in Stanford Hospital. And so he's got Guillain-Barré syndrome. And this little three-year-old kid has got tubes going down his nose. He's on a respirator. He cannot move. He can't even breathe on his own. The machine is pumping air for him. And we really realized that he, you know, I could have lost my brother at that time. And it was so stressful for my parents, obviously, you know, their little three-year-old child is fighting for the life. And for me, it just, when we got to the end of that, when my brother recovered from that whole experience, it really taught me that I was so grateful. I had the desire to grow up and save people in the future. And I really was thinking become a doctor one day. And that was one of the thoughts that was really strong in my mind. But it gave me this intense desire to help people, to make a difference, because I realized how grateful I felt. And I wanted to make sure that I could do that for other people. A few years later, my mother came down with cancer, and she attributes it to the stress that she felt when my brother was going through his ordeal. And my mom fought cancer for a very, very long time, 16 years, which is incredible, which was, I think, was some sort of record at that time. But, you know, it really taught me that life is so short and so unpredictable. And it can end anytime. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. So what I really wanted to do is make sure that in my life, I wanted to leave some sort of legacy. I wanted to leave something behind that was going to last beyond myself. And so when I think about what I really want to do in my life, I want to make a huge impact on people. I want to help people in a very, very significant life-changing way. And I want to build something that's going to last beyond me. I'm going to develop a system and an organization and a company that is going to continue to carry on this mission way after I'm gone. And that's really, for me, that's my why. And then that calls back to the warrior mindset, which is everything that you need to do in your life in that warrior mindset, it comes from purpose, right? You have to look at everything you do and say, does this truly meet the purpose that I have? Is this sourced by my why? And if it isn't, then you got to reevaluate what you're doing. But if it is, then you know you're following your path.
You know, I try not to cry. Everybody knows every time I'm talking and things touch me, I get so emotional, because when we hear stories, once again, we think about our whys, but your story makes me realize why we're more alike than different. Because at 6 years old, after seeing Bruce Lee and Chinese Connection and struggling with so much poverty in our own community, it gave me a sense of hope. And that six-year-old kid continued to go out in those bad streets of Baltimore and find a way to learn martial arts. And my mom died from cancer too. So for you to even bring up that subject matter and that, you know, in that storytelling way about legacy, I was just talking to someone about that. I was like, man, how do you want to be remembered, you know, when it's time to go home? And what are they going to say about you on your tombstone? And I truly believe as a warrior, we have to give it away in order to keep it. And through your school, I mean, even though we call it the warrior's mindset, it's just the mindset of success and hope and possibility and achievement. And for me, when I go into my school, I can have the best day. But when one of those little kids come running in that door and you look at them, I mean, look at your smile, man. You're giving me chills as I'm seeing your passion in this
life. It's the best feeling. It is the best feeling. There is nothing like it. When you have a little class, we have a class and you have young children, and a three-year-old child who you just taught runs up to you and gives you a huge hug. And it's amazing, because for a three-year-old child, mentally, they don't have the vocabulary to express themselves. No three-year-old is going to come up to you and say, Sifu Chang, I just want to express that this was a wonderful class. It really changed my life. You know, like the three-year-old doesn't know how to say that. So they express it in the only way they can, which is physically, which is what's my expression? A huge hug. And I just want to show you through my body language how much I appreciate. And it's just the one most wonderful feeling when we have that from a child.
So as a peaceful warrior with this mindset, when you function through life and you have to protect, because we are the protectors of the village. That's what we are as school owners. We have to protect the culture and the environment and not allow anything negative. We say better attitude makers. So when you come in, if you're not prepared to make someone feel better than how they were feeling before you met them, then you should not be around them. So in that, how important would you place that on anybody that runs any type of organization? Even if you run a grocery store, how important is it to protect the culture of that business that's coming from your soul? How important?
It is hugely critical. You know, you are the average of the five people that you are closest to, the five people you spend the most time with. And so running a martial arts studio, we realize that for a lot of these children, we have a humongous influence on them. We might be the only true male role model for a lot of these kids. We might be, I mean, these kids are with us for hours, several hours every single week. So what we say and how we act tremendously influences the shaping of these children's minds and personalities as they grow older. So the values that we, that our people have here, our team members have, is huge. Our selection process for team members here is very, very rigorous. They have to go through a four-step interview process. And like, I have a big list of people who've applied to join our team here to be hired. And like literally one out of 20 actually gets hired from all the people who apply for us. You know, I mean, we're very, very, very selective. And we look for specific character traits. I don't really look for the skill when I'm looking for people to join our organization. I hire people all the time who have never done martial arts before because I can teach them the martial arts. That's the easy part. The hard part is finding the right people with the right heart. I look for people with huge hearts who love helping people, who love working with children, who have enthusiasm for life, who have a growth mindset, who are willing to work through things that are tough to become better, right? And so those are really the key traits that I'm looking for when I talk and I interview people. I'm really looking for that rock star, you know, that diamond who's going to be able to turn into something great in this organization. And it all comes down to just being a good, genuine person. Because I can teach a skill. I can't teach someone to be a good person, you know, once they're already grown up, right? I mean, you're what you're at this point. So, you know, I really, really look for those wonderful people. So that is, for me, is the key to maintaining that real wonderful culture that we have, that I believe we have in our studios, which is a culture of extreme positivity, which is encouragement for our fellow person and for our students. And it's for a feeling of wanting to pass on what we know and how we can help people to the next generation.
And you know, because you got a lot of questions in the basis of everything we talk about, everyone out there is warrior's mindset. We're from the same family, wushu and kung fu. When you hear about success, this has been a long time coming, especially for successful wushu schools, because in the past, it was so complicated to teach a kung fu, a wushu class and be a success with it because it's so complicated. But to hear success and to see that many of us have found a way. And I think the key is that the student is always more important than the physical execution. That's the easy part right there, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's what so many kung fu and wushu schools have gotten wrong for the past 20, 30, 40 years, is they've always been focused on two things. They've been focused very much on the sifu, right? It's always about the head instructor for some reason. They've got their picture on the wall in this huge gigantic mural, and it's all about me and, you know, and what I want. Or it's about the martial art itself, which is, you know, we're here to promote wushu, we're here to promote kung fu, you know. And look, it's not about me. It's not about the art. The art has no value in and of itself. It's just, it's an intangible. It's a creation of society. It's a creation of a culture. What is value about it is how it can help people. For us, we're not here to teach wushu. We're here to help children turn into successful adults. Wushu is the vehicle to drive that forward, to make that possible. And it just happens that martial arts is the perfect vehicle for that. For us, our code here is that we develop children into successful adults through teaching them confidence, growth mindset, and grit. Those are the three things: confidence, growth mindset, and grit. What better way than wushu is there for to develop that? It's built into it. Wushu teaches those three things automatically. We just codified it and we put it at the forefront of our purpose here and of our teaching curriculum so that every single class, we are teaching them to have more confidence, to have growth mindset, and to develop grit. And when you do those things, all of a sudden, it's not just about the martial art and throwing punches and kicks and being able to do cool forms and learning how to do a butterfly twist. And all that stuff is part of the Wushu learning experience. And it's awesome and I love it. But the real goal is making a difference in those children's lives and just really thinking about like parallel universes. You got a kid here who's having issues in his life. And then you have the same kid in a parallel universe and they have those same issues, but they join Wushu Central Martial Arts Academy. And what a huge difference and a divergence in their life that turns into. That kid who was maybe having issues in his life and he's lacking in confidence and he's getting bullied, but now he joins martial arts. You know, it doesn't have to be us, it has to be a great martial arts school that is people focused and has purpose focused. And this child now is building that confidence so that when those other kids in school start telling him that he's no good, he says, you know what? I don't have to listen to you. I believe in myself, right? And that same kid isn't getting tempted by outside influences or getting into doing things that he shouldn't do. And that same kid is not getting tempted into drugs or getting into a gang. And instead, he's living his best life and he is propelling himself to the very best version of himself that he possibly can be. I mean, life is like a choose your own adventure, right? And if you are in it with the right team, you're there with the right coaches, with the right influences, you get into a wonderful martial arts program that mentors you and helps you really see the possibilities, that's a whole different life than the kid who doesn't get into it and they're just meandering around and they're letting everybody influence them in all different ways that, you know, are not always positive and could end up taking you down a real dark path. You know, I know somebody and he's actually related to me. So I knew him for a very long time. And this kid grew up with everything you can imagine would be awesome. I mean, his family's got a 16,000 square foot house. It's on the hill. It's huge. His garage is something like, it's like a 15 or 20 car garage filled with really expensive vehicles. This kid had everything that you could want financially, you know. And the thing is, he grew up pretty spoiled as a result. And so he went to a party and he went driving home one day, you know, very late at night, and he had his friend in the car with him, and he was going just way, way, way too fast. You know, I don't know how fast he was. I think he was probably going three digits fast, you know, on the freeway. Turned a corner, didn't make the corner right, skidded off the road and slammed into a tree, and he and his friend both died on the spot. And so this is a kid whose life was completely set up for him. He didn't have to worry about making a penny in his life. I mean, it was like a dream, you know, and he threw it all the way. This is a kid who didn't have the right influences in his life. Now, one of my favorite stories I always like to tell is I had this little boy who joined our school many years ago. His name was Samrit, and he joined, he was probably, I think he was probably like 5, 6, 7 years old, very, very young child at that time. And I remember when he first came in, this kid was so scared. He cried his first day of Wushu. He cried. And this boy was not coordinated. He was very inflexible. He had pretty low muscle tone. I mean, this guy couldn't hold a horse stance, you know, with a sword over his head threatening him. I mean, he was like the kid who you're like, oh, this kid is, you know, he's not Wushu material. But he stuck with it and we stuck with him. And we worked and we worked and we worked. And about 7 years later, he earned his black belt in our school. And this kid was completely transformed, you know. And it wasn't easy for him. He had failed several examinations, you know, but he kept working it. And when he got that black belt, it was such a moment of accomplishment for him. A couple of years later, he became one of our instructors. And now he was that instructor out there who was helping children who would be crying on the side, afraid to come into class. And he would come down to the level and he would whisper words of encouragement and safety to them. He would hold their hand and he would bring them out onto the floor because he knew what that was like, because he looked at these children and said, this was me when I was that kid. Mm-hmm. A couple years after that, he got accepted at Dartmouth University. He's in Ivy League right now. He's one of my favorite success stories, and I still talk to him on a regular basis. And so you see the difference in people's lives depending on what kind of influences they have. And it made me realize that what we teach here is such a gift. And it's almost like we have a moral responsibility to make sure that this is accessible to as many people as possible in the world. And that's why I'm working on developing this whole organization where we want to build Wushu Central locations all across the United States, because this helps people so much and it changes lives.
Your passion for teaching is so genuine and authentic. I can feel it as you're talking. And a lot of times, you know, I'm much older than you. I'm 57. Came up in a real egotistical era where it was all about, you know, wushu being, you got to do the drunken style this way, or you got to do the spear this way, or you got to win this title. And it was important for me and my wife that we call it ordinary people becoming extraordinary human beings.
And I love that.
You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, we just want to, I can sit in your smile and everything. Just, if you can just make a kid happy, you can make a parent joyful. Thank you so much. And cause it takes a village to raise them. And if we're all working together, that kid goes off to become such a positive person in society. But you, as you're speaking, and we look at so many other successful school owners, sometimes when we get successful, our passion is gone. The money and the success takes place in precedence over the quality of curriculum, but personal development. It takes precedence over that. How do you maintain that focus and staying passionate and staying emotionally connected to every student and parent?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things. And I think number one is to always make sure you're always tapped into your why. And that's the thing, is if your why wasn't always there, then it is hard to stay tied to your purpose. You know, for me, it's impossible to not feel passionate about it, because it's this, our school, Wushu Central Martial Arts Academy, is a direct extension and a result of my why. It wouldn't exist without that reason. Right. So that's the number one thing for people to make sure that you're doing, is that whatever path you have in your life, it's always tied to your own personal why. And if it is, then you're always going to feel that passion for it. But I also think it's super important that when you want to take what you do and you want to influence more people, there's only so much that you can do by yourself. Right. I can by myself maybe teach and mentor 100 students effectively. Yes. In order for me to grow that influence even further, I have to bring in like-minded people to help drive that vision to the future. And so for me, it's all about team building. It's finding the right people who have the same desire to help other people, and then to train them in how I do what I do. So that's what it all is about when we talk about bringing more people into our organization and hiring team members is I know that at their core, they have the same desire. Now I have to just have to show them how to do it, right? How we do it. Yes. And essentially replicating myself, or not so much myself because everybody's different, but replicating how and what we do, so that they can then carry that on to other people. So if I can train 20 people to do what I do, now we're reaching out and influencing 2,000 people. And if I can do that for 100 people, then I can now multiply that out to, you know, 100,000, you know, people. And so for me, it's all about how many people, how many lives can I change? How many people can I help? And the way to do that for me is bringing people under our organization who can do that for, you know, who can be kind of those banner carriers.
Well, the beautiful thing, as you keep reflecting on the why, I mean, which is an incredible book. I mean, that book practically changed many people's lives. But I think even in the new era of leadership, it's about giving. It's about being that walking example of what you expect. And you mentioned how I think we then came from managementship, if that's a word you can use. Everybody's about managing and telling you what to do. And you're right, in martial arts, I think we still have those old gatekeepers who want to, you know, keep it a secret or hold it for themselves. They don't want to pass the torch. If we don't become leaders that say, I'm preparing you to take this to another level, and I am happy for your success beyond my success. How important is that as a parent to want? Yeah, I know even as a parent, because I got five kids out, and people don't understand, I want my kids to be so much better than me. I don't want them to be like me. And that's a hard, especially you've been the man or the woman for so long, to step back and see other people shine and even make more money you have made in the same industry. How have you learned to accept that and allow that to grow? And what would you say to someone else who's probably still stuck and trying to, I call it a control freak, trying to control everything?
Yeah, you know, the best way to lose all the sand in your hand is to squeeze your hand this tighter. And people don't want to be managed, they want to be led. When I think of our organization and the way our leadership is structured here, most people think of a company or an organization as a pyramid, right? It's a pyramid, it looks like this, and at the very top, you've got your CFO or your CEO, and at the next level, you've got your management, at the next level, you've got your general employees, at the very bottom level, you have your customers, right? That's a general idea of what a company looks like. For us, it's the other way around, okay? And here's why. If you have an organization of people who are mission-centered, they want the same thing that you want, which is to help people, which is to change people's lives. Then you don't have to do this. You can do this. And here's what this looks like. At the very bottom is me, right? It's the CEO, it's the CFO. That's me at the bottom. The next level is our team of people who are out there servicing the community. My job here at the bottom is to support this second level here. It's not to tell them what everything they have to do. I don't want to have to micromanage my team and just, you know, and tell them every little thing that has to happen. I trust that they are in this mission with me and they're going to do the right thing. I just have to give them a little bit of guidance, and I have to give them the tools and the materials and the support that they need in order to carry that vision forward. So here's me at the bottom. My next level here is my team that is able to do that. And I just support them so that they can then serve that next level, which is our community. That's really what it's about. And I think people, you know, and again, it's just a different mentality than I think that a lot of business owners, small martial arts business owners in general have, which is that normal pyramid, you know, where just like, I'm just going to tell everybody what to do. And guess what? That's why they stay small, because you're trying to control everything and you can't do it. You've got to let people flourish and let people use their talents in your organization.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask you one CEO leadership, you know, entrepreneur question here. And this is one of these things that float around. I've worked with everybody from EFC and NAPMA, Century, all of them. And somewhere along the way in our industry, I see how the coaches have became, and the why I talks about it, it has became more of a situation of trying to manipulate people, small school owners, and people who just love the art. Because I remember one time I was at a seminar and Japanese karate royalty walked in. Teriaki Miyazaki walked into a EFC meeting. You know who Miyazaki is? You know, you heard of him before?
No. Can you give me a little background on Miyazaki?
He's one of the greatest Japanese karate instructors of our time. He's been on the cover of Black Belt. I mean, he didn't, in the early days of Karate Illustrated ratings, he was one of the only Japanese stylists that was rated in fighting forms and weapons. He's just straight traditional karate. And I remember when he walked in, people could not believe this master had now accepted to learn the business practices. But I realized over time, some of us want big, but some people just want a nice, comfortable living, a nice school where they can take care of their family and serve that community. And neither one's is better than. It's like everybody's level of wealth is different. What would you say to leaders or coaches or mentors out there that are forcefully trying to manipulate people to believe that your way is wrong and my way is the only way, so you got to do it this way. If not, you can't succeed. I'm going into to muddy waters here, but me and Brandon talk about this a lot because there are some people that want help, but some people have been so burnt in our industry that they're afraid to come out and get help. They just say, I'm just going to stay over here. I'm just going to do my thing because it doesn't seem like, and I remember seeing it all of a sudden, once we understood how to become coaches and mentors, now we were, it was no longer about trying to get the student to sign up. Now he was trying to get the small school owner to sign up. Let's get his money. And then I don't even have to worry about the students because I got the CEO. I mean, am I moving into muddy waters here? Talk to me, sir.
No, absolutely. You know, it's funny you talk about this because, you know, here's honestly what I think. Everybody has their own version of success. You know, what I want in my life is not going to be the same thing that someone else wants. And what I'm comfortable with is not going to be the same thing that someone else is comfortable with. It doesn't make sense to me, if I was running a consulting business, to tell everybody that you have to do it this way or you're going to fail. You have to sign people up on contracts. You have to send them to collections if they don't pay. You know, you have to do all these different kind of programs. You have to put a big elephant in your lobby with a green belt tied around it. You know, I mean, you know, just maybe that's great for this dojo over here, and that's what they do, and that's their version of success, and they're happy with that, and that's what they're comfortable with. Cool, right? I mean, you do you. That's okay, right? I'm not saying anything bad about that. But for that person then to say, you know, say to another person, this is how you got to do it in order to be a success, or you're gonna fail. That's baloney. That's complete baloney. People do. And people are successful in this industry with so many different models and so many different emphasis, right? We've got a Krav Maga school that does extremely well. They've got 1,000 students and they're making a lot of money, and that's wonderful for them. That's cool, right? And that's their niche. And then you've got another school which is going to be have a different focus, and that's awesome too. You have another school that's a Tai Chi focused school, and they're doing what they're doing, and they're doing wonderfully as well too. It's not just one way of teaching a martial art. You know, it's not just like there are literally hundreds of martial arts styles out there. There are hundreds of different ways of succeeding in business and running a successful school, you know? And so, for example, you know, for a long time, it was all about contracts, 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 sign up for a 1-year contract and then upgrade them to a 3 or 4 year contract. That was the whole deal, right? That was, you know, that was the way the industry was run. And so when I first toyed with the idea of moving away from contracts and just doing month to month, of course I was worried. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, is our retention going to go down? Are we going to lose, you know, are we going to lose members as a result because people can quit anytime? And, you know, are we going to then drop revenue as a result? And, you know, when we took that leap forward and moved from contracts to month-to-month memberships, the opposite happened. Our numbers climbed and our revenue climbed as a result as well too, right? And so I think that a lot of times there's a lot of preconceptions in the martial arts that this is how you run a successful school. And people have to realize that there are many different ways of running a successful school. And there are probably successful ways that haven't even been discovered yet.
Yes.
So
yes.
Don't be afraid to try new things and do things your way, because you can find success, you know, that hasn't been discovered before. Now, at the same time, there are a lot of really good people out there with great ideas and wonderful wisdom that can really accelerate your growth, especially if you're a new school owner and you don't know anything about how the business works. There's a wealth of information out there that you can tap into, people there that would genuinely love to help you. Mm-hmm. And those are good people to find. When you're looking for a mentor, find somebody who has walked the walk. Don't just get somebody who's kind of talked it through and is then billing themselves some kind of great marketing expert or some of the wonderful, you know, martial arts guru. I mean, really find somebody that has been successful. That's one. And number two, shares the same values as you. If you're getting into a mentoring group and this coach here is telling you stuff that just really doesn't feel comfortable for you, like it feels like against your moral fiber, then that's not a right fit for you. It's time for you to walk away. Now, if that coach is telling you something that you feel that you feel is challenging or is new ideas, and you know, you're just kind of, you're not sure whether or not, you know, you could do it, then that might be okay, because that person that's just might be pushing you to out of your comfort zone to do something that maybe you hadn't thought of doing. But there's a difference, right? There's a difference between, ooh, I'm being stretched and pushed in a way that's challenging versus this feels wrong on a core soul level. And make sure that you're going with a mentor who matches the kind of person that you want to be, who matches the type of business that you want to grow.
Well, sir, when we talk about you, I always try to describe what we're going to talk about in the Warrior's Mindset. The Warrior's Mindset is life. Martial arts is a way of life. It's everything. And that's what the warrior is. Sometimes we work in mental, sometimes we're doing the physical, and sometimes we're doing the spiritual. But it's a collective of what the martial arts is all about, mind, body, and spirit. And I think you gave us all of that. I'm so pumped up because some other questions I wanted to ask you. I'm like, oh man, look at the time. But if you can leave,
we can go on this for hours. We can have a whole day long podcast, and people would want to listen to us for a whole day.
I'm loving it, man. If you could leave someone right now who might be struggling, they might be at that breaking point, coming back from COVID, and just when you think we're back to normal, they put masks back on. Just when you thought you was off Zoom, you got to put Zoom back up. And you looked around and, you know, even as school owners, some of the kids coming back in and they need us to help them emotionally more than they need us to help them physically. What do you say to someone right now just to give them a sense of hope on a personal level?
Absolutely. You know, stay tied into what you're doing, why you're doing it, the real goal there. You know, I use this analogy sometimes. I imagine, let's say you're on hostage rescue, right? And you got a mission. You're gonna take a helicopter. You're gonna fly to the top of a building. You and your team are gonna crash in, you know, through the windows, you know, like a badass, you know, movie. And you're gonna rescue the hostages, and that's your mission. All of a sudden, your helicopter breaks down, right? It's not working. So at that point, what do you do? Do you just throw up your hand and say, like, well, I guess we're not going to rescue the hostages? You know, just let you really let them rot, right? No. Like, if your helicopter breaks down, you're going to find a different way to rescue those hostages, right? The mission doesn't change. You still got to do what you got to do. Same thing happens in the martial arts. You got students out there who need you, who need your influence, who need you to grow to become better people. So just because you can't teach them in person within your building, find another way. Maybe you don't like it that much. Maybe you would prefer to take that helicopter in. But you know what? If that helicopter is not available, your mission doesn't change. You're still going to do it. And it's still going to be all right because you're doing it for the people. It's not because you're not teaching the martial arts because you just want to teach martial arts. You're teaching it because you're there to help people and change their lives. You can still change their lives. You just got to do it a different way. And that's okay. You know, that's a different way. For us, The whole COVID situation has sort of been a blessing in disguise, because now when we took our classes on Zoom, we were really focused on, let's create the best Zoom experience for students. Let's be the absolutely best. Let's make this so good that people will feel like they're still getting the exact same value as they were when they were coming in person. And so we kept our students, and now we have students in person and on Zoom both. And that's how our organization is starting to grow even greater now, because now we have not just one revenue stream, which is students in person. We also have a second revenue stream, which is people learning online from all across the United States, by the way, including East Coast, where you're at. And that's been awesome. So just always remember that you've got a mission that you want to accomplish. You want to help people. Keep helping people. Doesn't matter how you're doing it. Doesn't matter what venue, if you're doing it in person or through a screen, you've got the way to help people. You have that knowledge, you have that heart, keep pushing forward, trust that the results are gonna, you know, everything's gonna work out in the end afterwards, as long as you stay true to your purpose.
How can people find you? Give them some email and website information.
Yeah, so my website is wushucentral.com, and you can email me anytime. My email address is sifu, that's S-I-F-U at wushucentral.com. I'm very, very quick at returning my email. So if you send me, you know, an inquiry, or if there's anything that I can do to help you, or even if you just want some advice, whether it's advice on parenting, advice on growing a martial arts school, advice on martial arts in general, send it my way. I love helping people. I'd love to help you too.
Warrior's Mindset, guys. Man, I finally met somebody got as much energy as I got. I mean, we just roll it here. It's just
having fun. That's what this is all about. It's about living your best life and just having a great time with your life, loving it every moment.
Well, thank you. Have an awesome Sunday. Once we finish this up, I'll send it to you, send you a link, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here with you today. This was such an honor, by the way, to be on this show with really, you know, a celebrity that I've known for a really long time. And so just to be on this podium with you, that's amazing.
I'm just a small guy. Hey, I want to ask you a question. Don't you have an equipment shop too? Don't you have a Wushu supply company as well?
Yeah, so we do sell our products on shopwushu.com. It's not a big part of our business. Really, all it is, it just came out of the fact that we were, you know, we would get silk uniforms from a supplier in China. And I had people start asking me, hey, you know, can I get some of those too? And so I realized the easiest way to do it so people could actually order it was just to put it up on a website. And then I realized people want other stuff too. Like they want swords and they want, you know, all the, you know, Feiyu shoes and all the stuff that we use here in our school. So basically everything that's on that site, it's just stuff that we use anyways. It's in our storeroom, you know? And so we're like, well, just put it on the site so that if someone wants to buy it, they can, you know, we can make a little bit of extra profit on that, you know, but it's just so people can access it and can have access, can purchase supplies. It's really hard to find, you know, martial arts supplies, honestly, especially Chinese ones. So it's there. It's not a major part of our business. It's not a big push. I'm not trying to become a major, you know, supply distributor, you know, but it's one of those things where I figure we've got the goods, you know, let's just share it.
Yes. Sir. Can you send me a link to that?
Yeah, I will. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll message you a link to our store website.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you again for this opportunity. It was such a pleasure.
Okay. Great day.
All right. Take care, Mr. Van Johnson. All right.